So I volunteered to host the discussion on Zoom. It was great. And there were a lot of questions. There was a lot of sharing of ideas. And it was just a great space for all of us who felt so siloed to come together and bounce ideas off of each other.
You're listening to Student Success Heroes, a podcast produced by Engineerica Systems. I am your host, Janelle Connor, and for this two-part interview, I'm speaking with another Student Success and Learning Center professional, Casey Bell, coordinator for the Carol A. Tate Teaching and Learning Center at Southwestern Michigan College, and founder of the Learning Center Professionals Discord server. How did you get into education? What was your pathway to get there?
That's a great question. When I was in grad school, I was getting my MFA in creative writing, and I started working in the Writing Center. I actually joke pretty often that tutoring is the gateway drug to teaching, because that's what it was for me. I started tutoring students in writing and I really loved it. And so I was then asked to join a group of graduate students who could start teaching composition. And I started teaching first year composition and absolutely fell in love with helping students. I unfortunately had to leave teaching in 2015. It was a very hard decision to make, but I was an adjunct and it just financially, I couldn't get it to work for me. And so I left for a bit. That's where I got into my software as a service background, but then came back to it in 2018 here at SMC and found, I think, the perfect role for me. I get to help students. I get to help figure out what they need to learn. I still get to teach in some capacity. So yeah, that's what got me there. It was tutoring.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. One of the reasons why I wanted you on the podcast today and why you were nominated as a Student Success Hero was because you've done an incredible amount of work to gather the Learning Center professionals in a community, both on Discord and in email. And I wanted to talk about how this community was kind of born, how you went about starting it, why you went about starting it. I've been watching since a year ago. I knew you before this, but I've been so impressed with your quick thinking to get people together in different formats and forums to help support one another. So tell me a little bit about why this came about or how you thought about this.
You know, it's actually kind of funny how it happened. I remember it was, I think it was March, maybe April, on the Learn Assist listserv. I just kept seeing people talking about online. What's everyone doing? What's everyone's ideas? Everyone was kind of freaking out. And someone had mentioned, it would be great if we could have a Zoom meeting to discuss it. And I think, you know, four or five other people responded and said, yeah, that would be great. But no one volunteered. And so it's just kind of who I am as a person that if there's something that needs to be done and no one's volunteering, I usually go, all right, well, I'll do it. So I was like, well, I have a professional Zoom account and I can host this. This is no big deal. So I volunteered to host the discussion on Zoom. It was great. I don't even remember the number of people that came, but it was, I want to say we got up to like 60 people that first meeting. It was big.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of questions. There was a lot of sharing of ideas. And it was just a great space for all of us who felt so siloed to come together and bounce ideas off of each other. While we were in that Zoom meeting, I said, hey, I'm on Discord for my center and it's been a really great tool. I'm going to start a server for us so we can continue this conversation. And so I just quickly started a server. And the rest is kind of history, honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't plan to do it. I didn't have this grand ambition to make a community for Learning Center administrators. It was just, I saw a need for a community to form since most of us we're kind of a department of one. Many of us are the only full-time employee in our departments. And I know some of the people on the Discord server aren't even that lucky. They're still doing it part-time while they're teaching or while they're doing other things or running other departments.
It's amazing.
It's, I don't know how they do it, honestly. It's enough of a full-time job for me. I can't imagine doing much more.
Yeah.
But when an emergency like this happens, and we're all asked to change the way we do things with no notice and no budget and no direction, it was honestly overwhelming. I saw that need to talk to other people. I wanted, even though we had online already implemented and it was going pretty well, I still was like, well, there's no way we're doing this perfectly. There's got to be someone who's doing it even better. And so trying to come together and just bounce those ideas off of each other, ask questions, ask for resources, and kind of help keep each other sane in an otherwise rather insane time.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think it was so cool because I don't know if I attended the meeting or if I just watched the video that you posted after of the meeting, but just being there and listening to what everyone's saying and hearing that everyone's kind of in the same boat and they're all facing similar challenges, and then being able to hear what people are starting to implement and what they're seeing in terms of results of, you know, some things working, not working, that was incredibly uplifting to me. And it was actually part of why I started this podcast, because I was so inspired by some of the things people were doing to keep the boat afloat, you know, keep everyone still focused on student success and making sure that we didn't drop our mission or what we were doing just because of the pandemic. I really was so impressed by everyone. I'm really excited that you took that step and created this community, because I've seen so many more discussions come from it, so many more Zoom meetings, and I think there's even other Discord boards now from it.
Yeah, there are. It's definitely grown into something that I'm just in awe of. I had no idea. I expected to have 50 people in a Discord server, and once we had it figured out, it would probably go away. But right now there are about 200 active people on this server. We had up over 400 at one point, but wow, some people have kind of stopped being active. The recordings of the Zoom discussions, each of them have been watched, you know, 200, 300 times. They've been shared. They've been really great resources for people to share with their administration, or for people like you who are trying to figure out what the needs are of Learning Center administrators in this otherwise very strange time.
Yes.
And so you could go in and actually hear firsthand, this is what we're struggling with. This is what we need. And you're able to tailor Acudemia or the other Engineerica products to kind of help us, which is honestly not something I'd ever thought about. But that's a great tool. So it's pretty astonishing. We've got a couple of other different Discord servers that have blossomed from this. One person said, hey, I need help with strategic planning. Anyone else? And a few other people said, yeah, me too. And so now we have a separate Discord server to help with strategic planning.
I'm really excited about that. I love strategic planning. Is that weird?
I love that. No. I think we're all kind of geeks about stuff like this. That's why we're here. But I love that Jessica, who started that, felt empowered. Like, she didn't feel like she needed to ask me. She just said, hey, I'm going to start this. Let's do it. And awesome. So it's a community, and not like I'm facilitating this thing, but it's really, it belongs to all of us, and we can all do with it what we need to get the ideas we need to be successful.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you how much time and effort does it take for you on the back end to get that going?
Honestly, it's kind of hard to remember because I set it up so long ago. It started off really simple, and there were just a couple of text channels, and then people asked me to add more and more and more. Discord's really easy to use and very easy to set up, so it wasn't a ton of time or a ton of work, honestly. I have a couple of bots installed that help me moderate. So if anyone, you know, got into the server and started using vulgar language, it would automatically kick them out. I do have help. Rebecca Tedesco helped me kind of set up a system to keep the server a little bit more pure. We had someone who was in there being a little predatory and emailing people unsolicited emails. And so we created roles to have just an extra layer of security.
Yeah.
So people felt safe coming there and sharing their ideas and sharing their questions and didn't feel like they were, you know, being watched or being poached in any way. But honestly, it doesn't take as much time as you would think. It's a group of people who are really there to just help each other. So I don't have to spend a lot of time moderating it, making sure people are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And there's very little maintenance to be done.
Great. I definitely got involved because we wanted to make sure we were making our products the best they could be for you guys and see what the needs were, getting to know one another and helping each other because it's kind of an odd situation to be on the other side, to be at Engineerica, where we really want to help people. Of course, we want to make sure our products are good and selling, but the only way they can do that is if they support the real needs of people and have a good reputation. So it's, you know, we follow the listservs, we attend the different conferences like NCLCA and CRLA, but it's been really neat to be included. And I'm just really grateful that you allow us to have conversations with you there and that there is a space and it's safe to do so.
Well, and it's mutually beneficial for us too to have people like you there or Melissa from Tutor Matching Services on there, because when someone has a question about academia or someone has a question about Go Board, they can post it and you can see it and you can answer it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there have been sometimes when someone had a technical glitch with Go Board and they're like, hey, anyone else seeing this? And Melissa was able to jump in and say, hey, so sorry, we're aware and we're fixing it. So that it's a great space for us to also get that kind of immediate line to people like you who are listening and who want to answer our questions or who might want to know if we're having a problem, if we're having an issue.
Definitely.
As long as it stays that way, and I think we found a great way to keep it that way, it's definitely mutually beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And it also has pointed out to us some of the things that our customers don't know about us. Like, we'll have certain features or things that we've developed and put out there, but I've seen people ask questions that show that they don't know that academia can do certain things. And then I'm able to say, hey, maybe you didn't know that we can actually help you with that. And then we're able to start up a conversation, which I think is awesome.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
In the Discord board and in the Zoom meetings, you've had many different types of discussions and recommendations and tools that have come up. Can you name some of those and some that you've seen really be helpful to the community?
You know, I've learned so much. There have been some really incredible discussions and suggestions. As I said before, going into the pandemic, we felt pretty well situated, but this community just showed me that there are more ways and different ways to do things. And once we were able to move beyond the immediate need, I've been able to learn a lot from people who have many more years of experience than I do. We've had so many great discussions. I think my favorite discussion, though, it's the one that really got me thinking the most, was the discussion on anti-racism and bias. We had that in July in response to George Floyd's death. And Dr. Tori Staton, who's the director of tutoring and SI at South Carolina Central University, she does a lot of work with a nonprofit in her area called We Are. And she was able to help us think about how we can train our staff and ourselves to create inclusive spaces for our students of color, how we can make sure that students of color feel comfortable in our spaces, how we can help lift up their voices. And it's been really, it was really great discussion. It was one of the, I think we had over 200 people in that discussion.
Wow.
And it's been watched a lot. And because that was really something that, you know, we're already in this terrible pandemic and now we have riots and protests happening because of this unfortunate incident. And so a lot of us were sitting back going, okay, what can I do? What is it that I can do right now to make a difference?
Yeah.
Dr. Staton was able to give us some things that we could do to make a difference to help our students of color feel safe and to feel celebrated on our campus and to be better allies. And so that was probably my favorite discussion. It was very inspiring.
That's incredible.
Oh, it was wonderful. Honestly, if you haven't watched that video, if you didn't get to attend it, it's on my YouTube channel and it was great. I think I had goosebumps and tears in my eyes the whole time, honestly. It was really wonderful. And, you know, most of our discussions have centered around training our staff recently.
Yes.
That's been the big hot topic is, okay, we're probably going to be returning to some sort of normalcy, but we have to train our staff. But the idea of getting everyone together in one room again seems unlikely. So trying to figure out how we can train our staff members virtually, but not just make more videos for them to trudge through that they hate, trying to make them interactive and make sure that they're really getting a lot from them. So that's been a lot of the focus that, you know, our training's probably changing forever because of this. We had Rebecca Tedesco come and do one session talking about interactive training. She's really well known for her interactive training sessions, and she gave us a lot of really great resources on reflection and trying to make sure we're having our tutors think about what they just learned instead of just making them learn it and then not making them use it immediately. We've got some future sessions coming up too. I'm hoping to keep these rolling on a monthly basis for the foreseeable future. We're looking at recruiting, different ways of recruiting more diverse populations of tutors, how you recruit student tutors or professional tutors, asynchronous tutoring support, since a lot of colleges are going to be offering a lot more virtual classes and they're all asynchronous, how we can support people asynchronously, returning to in-person. I think we've already had that discussion twice, and I think we're going to have it again, just trying to figure out what everyone's done, what's worked, what hasn't worked. So there've been just so many things that people have done and that people have shared that I just find myself constantly taking notes and writing things down of things to try and things to check out. I've checked out a few different possible technology things. A lot of them are a little expensive, so I haven't been able to really go any further than just looking at them. But looking at different ways of doing things, looking at different scholarship that has come out in response to this, in response to the pandemic and how people are learning. The Learning Assistance Review had a special issue come out on pandemic and what we've learned. And I mean, gosh, this was last summer. So we almost need a follow-up issue to say, okay, now what else have we learned?
Yeah.
But there were a lot of great pieces there as well.
I think it's incredible how much more people are looking for these resources and starting to implement them and figure out ways to do these things. Because I think before the pandemic, we were all just really busy and busy away from each other, if that makes sense, doing our own business, managing our own centers, being, you know, concerned with the things that are at hand in front of us. And then now that a lot of us have had to go home and work digitally and be virtual, now there's actually time to look into these things, time to think about them, time to ask our questions, and a community now to do so.
Absolutely. And not just necessarily time as much as necessity.
Yeah.
You know, most of us were doing things that had always worked. And so the pandemic really threw us all on our heads. We had to do things differently. We had to do it quickly. We had to find that research, and we're still working to make it the best we can be. It's one of those, I guess, silver linings of a truly horrific situation is that we were able to really step back and look at what we were doing and realize that we were comfortable. And sometimes being uncomfortable makes us grow in really wonderful ways. And I'm hoping that we can see some lasting improvements because of just the introspection we've all had, the time we've taken to really look at how our centers are running and what's working and what's not working, and maybe get some changes for the better.
Exactly. So what do you think is the next steps, or what is your vision for the community and where we go from here?
You know, I never really planned for it to happen, so it's so hard for me to think about what's next for it.
I know it's not up to you. It's kind of where the community goes, right? And what things evolve from the different members.
Absolutely. I think my focus will really just remain on having a free, accessible, and collaborative space for Learning Center professionals to share ideas and resources. I hope this group remains active. I think it will, and just continues to grow, because having this community has really been invaluable. We got to know each other at conferences in the past, and you know, sometimes you stay in touch, but sometimes you don't. Often you don't. You might send an email or two and then maybe I'll see you next year at the conference. But now at the push of a button, I can ask, you know, hundreds of my closest friends and colleagues who I've never met in person or who I've only met in person once, what they're doing and get their feedback. I personally like going to the Discord server rather than spamming everyone's emails on LearnAssist, because we have the channels set up. So I can go specifically to the Discord channel and say, hey, what's everyone doing in their Discord channels to solve this problem? And then people that aren't using Discord won't look at it. And so it's a way to get a more tailored audience and to get to the people that you really want answers from. And I think that's just, I think that's what I hope for, is that this continues. It was created out of a place of near desperation. It was created out of a terrible, horrific situation. But I hope it's something that we continue to just grow and be there for each other, even when things return to normal, whatever that might look like in the future.
I'm excited to see where it goes, for sure. This Discord server is obviously a great place, a great resource for our Learning Center professionals. How can they find it? What would be the best way to get involved?
I can give you an invite link that you can share. Just click on the link and you can sign up, and then you'll be directed to an introductions page. You just introduce yourself and what school you're from. We'll assign you the role of Learning Center professional, and then you're there. You're in the community. So I can definitely include that link so you can share it with the listeners.
Great. I'll post that with the show notes. And then what are maybe some other great resources for Learning Center professionals that you would recommend?
You know, that's one of the wonderful things right now. There's so much available and so much of it's more accessible than it's ever been. NCLCA just had a virtual conference and I was on the planning committee for it and was able to help with that. And so we're gathering some of the session recordings and those are going to be on the NCLCA members page. And this is something that hasn't really happened in the past. They've had some slides available post-conference, but never recordings. And so if you were unable to attend the conference or if you were unable to attend the sessions live, you can go back and look at them. Or if you did attend, but you scribbled down some notes that you can't read, you can go back and revisit it.
I love that.
We all do it. And so that's a really great resource. There are a lot of people that are creating really great YouTube resources and content, a lot of good webinars. I hope and I think that the virtual conference and a more virtual space will stay available for people. I think CRLA is doing some things. I've seen a few different organizations that are doing different virtual conferences or virtual meetings to help people. And it's more accessible. You know, a lot of us, even pre-pandemic, didn't have huge travel budgets. If we got to do a conference, we maybe got to do one, and maybe not every year, depending on the location. Everything's just a little more accessible. I encourage people to go and look at the websites of all of the different tutoring associations out there and see what they have. Becoming a member is not usually terribly expensive, and there's a lot more available than there used to be.
Yeah, those are great resources. Thank you. I really hope that this discussion, as well as others I've done on the podcast, are helpful to people as well. I've tried to focus on what people are doing and highlight the great things that people are doing to keep student success as a focus, because that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Maybe let's talk about some of the more fun things that are going on. Are there some fun things going on in your center or profession or life?
That's a hard one. There's not a lot of fun things happening right now. I'm still trying to stay home as much as possible and stay safe. I have a 16-month-old, so life's a little crazy, but things are getting warmer. I'm spending a lot of time outside and going to the park and going for walks.
Trying to stay sane, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As much as you can. Having a cooped up 16-month-old in a pandemic is not a lot of fun.
I can't imagine.
It's been interesting.
Because they're always into everything. They want to see everything.
Oh, yeah. The world is all new and very exciting for her. And she is always into everything. And her inquisitiveness is just, it's wonderful. I love seeing the world through her eyes and experiencing things through her. But when your experiences are limited, it makes it a little bit more challenging, especially in Michigan when winter is very long and very cold.
Yes.
So it's been a lot of inside time. We had at one point over 3 feet of snow outside and she's not 3 feet tall. So going outside to play in the snow wasn't even possible because we'd lose her.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a little scary to think about.
It is. In my center, all of my tutors are still working virtually for the most part. We have one person who kind of mans the center at any given time. So not a lot of fun things happening here. In the profession, though, all of the resources we're talking about, the virtual conferences happening, I think those are fun and exciting personally. I'm able to go to multiple conferences this year, which is absolutely unheard of. I've never been able to go to more than one. So that for me is really exciting, is the accessibility of resources now.
Yes.
And getting to hear from different people who maybe I haven't heard from before. I've always tended to gravitate towards NCLCA. I've never really attended any other conferences for CRLA or anyone else. And now I'm able to work through some of the virtual content available, different virtual conferences that are available, and just having more access to even more professionals that are outside of my typical circle.
Yeah, no. And now even having these different Zoom meetings, it's almost like having a mini conference about different topics and like a discussion circle or discussion board about different things. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like a mini webinar / conference for the people that know what they're talking about. And for the rest of us, it's a extended Q&A. It's like all of that part about the conference that you love, that you can ask questions after the fact and talk to each other after the fact. That's what's happening on these Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
Getting to know each other a little bit and getting to ask those questions that are very specific to your center instead of having to ask kind of broader questions that apply to more people.
Definitely. I still remember one of the discussions when you guys were talking about online resources, and there were some questions like, what are you using for your appointment scheduling and things like that? And you were like, I'm an academia girl. And we were just like, whoa, that's awesome. I love that you said that. We were so enthralled with it. We made you a little t-shirt and sent it out to you.
Yes, and I wear it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like my academia girl t-shirt.
It was just really neat to be able to hear from people who use the software and have that feedback that you know, you're very positive about it, and you're letting people know. And that, you know, from our end is really exciting to see that people are loving what we're doing. So thank you.
You know, Academia has been a great tool for us. We implemented it in 2018. And as we've gotten to know it, it's kind of like breaking in your favorite pair of shoes. It just kind of gets more and more comfortable. And I think what I love is that I'm still learning things too.
Yeah.
There are things that I find all the time that I'm like, oh, I didn't even know I could do that. So it's got a lot of good features that I'm sure if I really spent time to look through the manual, I'd be able to figure out all of these things. But, you know, not everyone always has time.
You don't just have to go there. We have a client success manager now, Rachel Cook, who will actually work with people who are academia clients and talk through, you know, some of those features and also relate it to goals as well. So if you have particular goals for your center and you're just not sure if academia can help, she can help you see if there's other resources within academia that you didn't know about before and teach you about those.
I actually just had a meeting with Rachel about that very thing. Her and Jorge and I got together and talked about some things that I'm trying to do with academia, different cohorts of students I'd like to lump together for reporting purposes and things like that. So yeah, no, it's absolutely great. You just have to, when they ask if you need help, say, maybe. And They'll definitely help you.
Great. Well, is there anything we didn't cover today?
You know, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. It's exciting. I'm a big podcast nerd, so being on a podcast excites me for sure. Although I don't know how the experience of listening to myself later will be. But yeah,
that's the tricky
part. It was
really
exciting for me. Right.
Well, thank you.
I think the only last thing is just, you know, I think we all need to remember to stay flexible and have that growth mindset right now, just trying to think of ways that we can do things rather than just shutting down and saying, no, it's not possible, because our students need us and we need to listen to them, meet them where they are, and focus on just being the center that they need. So that has been my biggest takeaway from all of this, is recognizing that I am not in control. There's definitely something else in control of this pandemic. It's not me. And so I just need to stay flexible and adjust to make sure that we are being the best center possible.
Yes, thank you. That was wonderfully put. Awesome. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Casey. I think what we've talked about is going to be super helpful to others. And I know that the work you've done needs to be highlighted. So I'm really excited to share that with others. So thanks again for doing this with me.
Absolutely. I appreciate it so much. And yeah, I hope this gets more people to join the conversation on the Discord server and join our Zoom meetings, because the more voices we have, the more ideas we have. So as many people as we can get to join, I want them there.
Definitely. I will put that in the show notes, and in our email, I'll make sure that we mention it.
All right.
A big thank you to our listeners. Join us next time. This podcast is produced by Engineerica Systems. We track everything so you can take care of your center